Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this bi-weekly broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you live on a very interesting date. Play of numbers here. Today is 12-12-21. 1-2-1-2-21. And we're going to see another play on those same numbers, those two numbers, when we start winter, because this is the last show of the fall. And winter starts on 12-21-21. 1-2-2-1-2-1. So it's funny how we have these results with the numbers. And, of course, the numbers are so important. We talk a lot about the numbers here, but we need to be aware that they may be, maybe we should pay more attention to them. But with regard to the show, the temperature at air time was 38 degrees. We've had a good couple of weeks here. We had our first taste of snow last week, but just a dusting. But haven't gone through many winters here in Boston. We don't take any conclusion until it's over. As Yogi said, it ain't over till it's over. Anyway, I want to give you the call-in number, and let me get that again. I keep forgetting it. I should know it almost automatically by now, but let me make sure I give it to you in the right number. Okay. It's 914-803-4379. And if you do call in, please give me your first name and which city and state you're calling from. And if you're outside the country, what city and country you're calling from. Well, let's go right into the latest on the coronavirus pandemic, which I've been doing that for over a year now, maybe a year and a half or so. Every 2 weeks I give you the statistics, and you can get those on worldometers.com. Let me make sure I give you that website right if you want to check the numbers on the coronavirus. coronavirus website is www.worldometers.info/coronavirus. So let me give you those figures. On the infected, on the global scale, it's 270,389,874. That compares to 261,732,268 2 weeks ago. The active cases, 22,005,179. That's up from about 20 million something. And the deaths on a global level is 5,321,405. And that's up from 5,216,642. The recovered, 243,063,290. And that's up from 236,352,036. As far as the United States is concerned, they are the biggest nation with the largest figures. The USA has infected a 50,800,501, and that's up from 49,091,189, or about 1,800,000. Or that break down to about 900,000 a week. The active cases in the U.S. is 9,979,405. The deaths, 817,955, up from about 800,000 or say about 18,000 since 2 weeks ago. So that's about 9,000 a week. And the infected is 40,003,141. And that's compared to the total of 50 million. So about 80% of those infected have recovered. The number of countries that have over a million infected has gone up from 39 to 42. And that's because of the following countries have been added: Switzerland, Jordan, and Greece. They have raised it from 39 countries to 42. And there are three more on deck to pass to pass that mark. Let me give you those names. So we're coming up at around 900,000 plus, but under a million is Kazakhstan, Cuba, and Morocco. So if you want to check those out, go to that website and you can see an awful lot of statistics if you're interested in crunching the numbers. All right, well, the two big things happening in the country, well, one major activity, and that is lawsuits. Seems like we are becoming more of a litigious society every day. And, of course, now the main two issues that are going to court are the lawsuits involving the vax lawsuits and the vax mandates, and also the lawsuits involving or relating to abortions. Ever since Roe v. Wade, the country has been very much divided on this issue. And I'm going to be talking about that some more, but let's talk a little about the vaccine mandates. We see a lot of the mandates are being imposed on the military. See if I can find that article that I had here. Well, as usual, I'm having trouble finding it. Well, let me read it to you. I wanted to get it to you in a certain format that is easier to read, but I can't seem to find that, so I'll just do it from here. This is from Liberty Counsel. The DOD, the Department of Defense, continues to threaten military entitled to a religious exemption. Despite federal, this is reported from Liberty Counsel, as I say, despite federal Judge Stephen Merriday's ordering each branch of the military to file a detailed report every 14 days beginning on January 7th of next year, since religious accommodations have not been granted from the COVID-19 shot, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin continues to threaten to withhold funding for payment of duties. The military payroll. The deadline to be vaccinated for Air Force Reserve was December 2nd, and Air National Guard is December 31st. However, individual commanders are imposing their own earlier deadlines. Austin sent a memorandum on November 30th directed at members of the National Guard and the Air Ready Reserve that stated no Department of Defense funding may be allocated for payment of duties performed under the Title 32 for the members of the National Guard who do not comply with Department of Defense COVID vaccination requirements. No credit or excused absence shall be afforded to members who do not participate in drills, training, or other duty due to failure to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19. And it goes on. You can read that further if you go to Liberty Counsel's website. That's Matt Staver's website at Liberty Counsel or www.lc.org. So the military is becoming very, very dictatorial. And Epic Times has an article, and one of the paragraphs says, the High Court's decision relating to vaccines, where they have cracked down on the mandate, they said it was a warning to the Biden administration. Yet the administration ignored it and doubled down. The big guy, or Mr. Biden, decided to know best for the rest of us. Everyone had to be vaccinated, so the administration issued not one, but three vaccination mandates. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration imposed a vaccination dictate on companies with more than 100 employees. The Centers for Medical and Medicaid Services, CMS, issued a similar decree on healthcare providers. And the big guy himself issued an executive order stating that the government would no longer contract with or permit subcontracts to companies with unvaccinated employees. Just as the CDC had tried to convert a fumigation statute into power over residential leases, OSHA twisted a law directed at immediate job emergencies into a sweeping public health measure. CMS and the president likewise inflated administrative provisions into public health laws. Each of these mandates purported to override state and local public health regulations. The judicial response, however, is coming forth now, a little slow, but it's coming. On November 12th, the unanimous three-court judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit put a hold on the OSHA mandate. The case was BST Holdings versus OSHA. The judge writing the court opinion was Kurt D. Engelhardt. On November 30th, a Louisiana federal court stayed the CMS order. The case was Louisiana versus Becerra. The jurist was Terry A. Dougherty. The same day, a Kentucky federal judge stayed the executive order on federal contractors. The case was Kentucky versus Biden. The judge was Gregory F. Van Tallenhove. So there's a lot of cases now that are going through or partially have gone through, and they still have to be adjudicated, and we'll keep reporting on them as we get information. But these lawsuits are taking up a lot of valuable time to me. What do you think about them, ladies and gentlemen? Let's see if anybody's in the chat room that wants to give me their opinions on these suits. Of course, it's a late hour, and people have been through a lot. There's no one in there right now. But if somebody comes in and they want to talk among themselves or give me a call, remember, the call-in number is 914-803-4379. A couple of interesting stories in Yuma, Arizona. That is before we talk about the abortion issue. In Yuma, Arizona, the mayor of that city has declared a state of emergency due to these soaring numbers of illegal immigrants coming in from Mexico. And they could be from other countries, but Mexico is the closest country to Yuma, Arizona. So immigration is a huge problem. And we'll see all these problems that have taken place since this new administration entered the Oval Office. We'll see that in the polling numbers that I'll be giving you shortly, in the approval numbers. They don't bode well for the Democrats. Also, with regard to another court case coming up, it'll be a date that's been set for the Steve Bannon trial. He has been found taken up for contempt of Congress, and that trial will be scheduled for July the 18th,
July
18th, 2022. All right, well, let's see what else we have. I'm going to talk about the abortion issue. That is a huge issue. It seems on that issue, ladies and gentlemen, it seems to be revolving right now about when does life begin? And it's in the courts. And my own view is that life begins at conception, but a lot of them are saying that it's when the baby is viable. So this is why they're adjudicating it in the courts, and my hope is that they will decide on the date of conception. I think Ronald Reagan once said, if you don't know when life begins, err on the earliest possible date. And do not abort at all, because life hasn't begun until conception. So I'll probably stick to that until it becomes clear. But as technology advances, and with the sonograms and everything, you can see the baby in the womb, and there are cases as to when life begins. And Dr. Chaps, Gordon Klingenschmidt on PrayInJesusName.org has a lot to say about that. And I'm going to be playing a clip in the non-live portion of the show discussing that. All right, let me give you the financial information. The Dow closed the week at 35,970.99. It was up from the previous 2 weeks at 34,899.34. The NASDAQ is up also at 15,630.60. The S&P is also up from 2 weeks ago at 47,712.02. It seems like the stock market is continuing its upward momentum, and many of us feel that that is due to the Federal Reserve's activities of printing money or pumping up the economy with money, but yet it's not a healthy way to do it. We should be being more productive, and I think that would accomplish the objective. Gold was closed the week at 1782.90, and that was down. That was down from 1791.80, and silver also down at 22.18, and that was down from 20.309. So we see silver is in a kind of stuck because of the Federal Reserve again, and it's so much, even though we have inflation, which normally is a boost to the precious metals, we see that silver is kind of lagging, but many of us feel that it's only a matter of time before we see it rising well above the $2,000 level. Jeffrey Gundlach, the bond king, has quite a few things to say. He says there are rough waters ahead for the financial markets in 2022 as the Federal Reserve looks to accelerate its tapering schedule and raise rates next year. So the stopping the bond purchasing and raising rates will put a damper on the economy and the financial markets, but they should be very positive for the precious metals. Powell, Federal Reserve Chairman Powell, is going to double that pace of taper, which would get us out in March. It's quite likely that since the stock market and risk assets have been clearly supported for over a decade by balance sheet expansion and low interest rates, it is turning into rough waters. A hawkish Fed will drag the economy down, and as the central bank proceeds to raise rates in 2022, which some are seeing happening, economic problems will follow, Gundlach pointed out. It's likely that we will see economic problems with just a few rate hikes from the Fed. Remember in 2018 when they, toward the end of 2018 when they raised it slightly, the stock market tanked. The bond market is also signaling red flags since March of this year. Since March of this year, the bond market has not done well. The trigger behind a more hawkish Fed is inflation, which is not going anywhere next year. Gundlach warned that the U.S. inflation pace may not decelerate below 4% on an annual basis for the whole of 2022. He also projected that inflation could rise to 7% on an annual basis in the next couple of months. When asked about gold, Gundlach said it has been boring and shockingly stable. For gold to rally, the U.S. dollar needs to roll over. The dollar has been a cap on gold. I do think that when the dollar heads down, gold will go up. Gundlach's long-term dollar view is strongly bearish, with expectations of a weaker U.S. dollar in the second half of 2022 or 2023 due to the twin deficits, that is the budget deficit and the trade deficit. He also says emerging markets will be a very strong performer. So you can do your own independent research on these subjects, but many of us feel that gold is a bargain, gold and silver, silver especially with the gold to silver ratio running around 80 to 1. Bitcoin has taken a hit 2 weeks ago. Bitcoin was under 58,000, just under 58,000. It's now around 50,000, one Bitcoin. It was at 68,000 not too long ago. As I said, inflation prices are up 6.8% over the last year. That's the highest level since 1982. I'm sure many of you are starting to see it when you go shopping, especially now at Christmas time. So you have to be very careful and look for bargains. They're still out there, but be very selective and watch your pennies. All right, I want to give you the poll numbers for the administration, the Real Clear Politics averages from November 16th to December the 9th show the approval rating of the Biden administration at 42.3. That's up slightly from 41.7 or 0.6%. And the disapproval is down slightly to 51.8 from 52.5 or 0.7. Well, that's pretty much it. I want to close a little early because I want to cover some clips by Dr. Chaps in the non-live portion. But I did want to tell you that the next show will be after Christmas. I don't think we'll have a show before then. But the next scheduled show is on Blog Talk Radio on December the 26th, the day after Christmas, Sunday, a week from tonight, or 2 weeks from tonight. So I want to thank you all. Keep praying and take care of your family yourself. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Good night, everyone. Welcome back, everyone. This is Bostonian, host of The Money Show, with the non-live portion of the show, 15 minutes of yours truly talking. No call-ins now, but I want to continue on with the legal issues, and I have a couple of clips here from Dr. Chaps of PrayInJesusName.org website. And you can go to his website, which is PrayInJesusName.org, and check these out for yourself. The first one, well, you'll see when you hear them. Here we go with Dr. Chaps.
The United States Supreme Court has ruled that a state cannot force religious employers to fund abortions. Once again, this is a holdover from the Obamacare mandate that you, Christians, must pay for abortions with your health care system. But now that's been reversed yet again by the Supreme Court. Christian Post reports SCOTUS has vacated a lower court ruling that was initially against multiple religious employers who were seeking religious exemptions to a 2017 health care regulation. What did the New York State regulation require? Oh, that religious employers must provide health care plans that include coverage of abortions. In an issue released last Monday, the Supreme Court of the United States vacated a lower court ruling in the case of Roman Catholic Diocese of Albany et al. Versus Imani Shiri et al. And remanded the case back to the New York Court of Appeals for further adjudication. That's a victory for religious freedom for Roman Catholics in New York. And the Supreme Court cited its unanimous earlier decision in the case of Fulton versus City of Philadelphia to justify its new order in the New York case. In the Philadelphia case, the High Court had ruled that city officials could not exclude a Catholic charity from its foster program because the organization refused to place children with same-sex couples for religious reasons. Conservative justices like Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, and Neil Gorsuch voted to hear the charity's appeal rather than to send the case back to the lower courts, but ultimately it was sent back to the lower courts. Eric Baxter with the Beckett Fund, vice president and senior attorney there, which is a legal nonprofit that represents the Roman Catholic Diocese, said in a statement that he is thankful for the new order. The attorney Baxter said the following, quote, New York clearly learned nothing from the federal government's own attempt to force nuns to pay for contraceptives and is now needlessly threatening charities because they believe in the dignity and humanity of every person. We are thankful that the Supreme Court won't allow the New York Court of Appeals' bad ruling to be the last word on the right of religious ministers to serve New Yorkers of all faiths, end quote. A group of religious organizations and orders, including multiple Roman Catholic dioceses, Catholic Charities, an Anglican Order of Nuns, and multiple Protestant churches, all together filed lawsuits against New York over its abortion coverage mandate. For example, the Sisterhood of St. Mary, led by Mother Miriam, is one of the oldest Anglican religious orders ever founded in America. And now, Mother Miriam will not be forced, along with the other sisters, to pay for abortions for their employees. And that's the news. Our thanks to The Blaze for that report. On this show, we do like to discern the spirits. So in this example, there are human actors in the story. There are nuns, Catholic, Protestant, you know, the Roman Catholic diocese who are filing a lawsuit. There are Obamacare mandates dating back to 2010, right, when they were forcing companies, and Biden is still today trying to force companies to pay for abortion. Does that include religious companies? Well, the Supreme Court has ruled against the government on repeated grounds. But where are the non-human spirits? I've described all the human actors in the story. Where are the angels? Where are the demons? Where are the is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God? The invisible spirits can be discerned. We can see them through the lens of biblical morality as they influence the human actors in their moral choices. So what do I mean by discerning the spirits? It means that we look at the moral choices being made by the human actors and we say, is that God or is that the devil who is whispering to them and influencing their choices? That's how we discern the voices, because if the voice, for example, let's say there was a judge. Let's pick any random judge on the Supreme Court. Justice Roberts, for example. He seems to be in the news. Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. He's there with the facts before him. The human actors are appealing before him, but he's also listening to a different set of voices. The voice of God himself may be whispering to Judge Roberts by the Holy Spirit to say, or maybe by an angel, an angelic messenger, maybe whispering and saying, don't kill the children. Give them a chance. Don't force Christians to pay for that. Side with religious freedom. Let the Catholic nuns or the Protestant nuns obey God in their conscience. Give them the freedom for which they appeal. On the other side, there might be a demonic voice, which is whispering to the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court and saying, punish the Christians. Kill the children. I mean, you can almost hear the voice of that demonic spirit violating one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. It's saying, thou shalt kill. But thankfully, in this case, at least Justices Thomas Gorsuch and Alito, they are listening to the voice of God, and they are preventing those kinds of oppressions. Let's pray about this. The Bible says in John 7, don't judge according to the outward appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Father in heaven, we pray in Jesus' name that you will influence the Supreme Court justices to judge with righteous judgment, that they themselves will discern the spirit of evil in our times and vote against it, the spirit of God in our times and vote with him, that they will manifest the wisdom of Almighty God in their. And we even pray for the liberal members of the bench, that they will repent of their sin and get it right next time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, here's the next clip.
Exemptions for now. And our friend Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel reports that following the Supreme Court's decision to not grant extraordinary relief or any injunction pending appeal, Liberty Counsel is now going to file for a fuller hearing petition at the Supreme Court to review the merits of the case brought on behalf of more than 2,000 Maine healthcare workers in the state of Maine, some of whom were terminated and fired from their jobs even after requesting a religious exemption from any vaccine mandate ordered by the Maine governor. The Supreme Court said they're not going to immediately help the nurses. But now, it will still drag on in court. Some of these nurses have been fired, may never get their jobs back. They've not been granted an injunction. But eventually, they may get justice because the Supreme Court still needs to resolve the splits in the circuits and lower court rulings. For example, the states of Maine, New York, and Rhode Island now have state executive orders banning employers from even considering the sincerely held religious beliefs of employees. Can't even consider that. Even though it's the Constitution, employees have constitutional rights. No. We're not going to listen to that. The Maine governor, for example, Janet Mills, threatened to revoke the business license of any employer, not just the hospitals, but any employer that grants an employee a religious exemption is going to lose their business license. Governor Mills has ordered employers to disobey the federal law known as Title VII and also the Constitution known as the First Amendment. However, states do not have the authority to order employers to disobey Title VII federal employment law. Well, what does federal law say? It prohibits religious discrimination. You can't fire someone because of their religion, but they're doing that anyway in Maine. Thanks, Governor Mills. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court denied immediate relief against this unconstitutional edict that mandates all healthcare workers, even if they have a religious objection, they must be fully vaccinated or are fired. As you can imagine, there was some dissent. Even though the Supreme Court didn't rule yet in the nurses' favor, Justice Gorsuch was one of the dissenting voices, and he said the following, quote, "This case presents an important constitutional question, a serious error, and an irreparable injury. Where many other states have adopted religious exemptions, Maine has charted a different course. Healthcare workers who have served on the front line of a pandemic for the last 18 months are now being fired and their practices shuttered, all for adhering to their constitutionally protected religious beliefs. Their plight is worthy of our attention," end quote. Unfortunately, they're not going to get the Supreme Court's attention just yet. It's going to have to grind through the process. It may take a year or more. Trump appointees to the bench, Justices Barrett and Kavanaugh, sadly concurred in the denial of injunction relief for the nurses, noting that an injunction pending a writ of certiorari grant would be an extraordinary request that would require the High Court to rule on the merits before it had an opportunity for full briefing and argument. And that's the news. Our thanks to...
Well, let's pray that the Maine decision gets corrected and that that governor doesn't get reelected. Governor Mills up in the state of Maine, which is a little north of me here in Massachusetts. So you might want to email her and tell her you disagree with her position and defend the nurses for their rights under the Constitution. Well, we're coming to the end of the show. Christmas is coming. The goose is getting fat. Remember that poem? Please remember to put a farthing in the old man's hat. Something like that. Anyway, the next show, as I said, will be on Blog Talk Radio on the day after Christmas, December the 26th, and that'll be the last show of the year. And then we'll go into 2022. And we have to stay, we have to persevere and make sure our country is restored to the founding principles upon which it was founded. And I think we'll all have a better year in 2022. All right, well, that's about it. God bless you all. And I'll sign off as usual.